Let's start there. In all of God's process of conversion for God's people, we may miss what is most important. We're not called to salvation only. God isn't interested in just bringing us into his family because there's a process. We're not called to salvation only, but we are called, commissioned, and being created new for the purpose God created us. We weren't created to live our lives the way we do. This world wasn't. And this spiritual process that's far above any human thing, this spiritual process culminates in the fully spiritual family at the resurrection into the kingdom. And this astounding, unimaginable purpose for God's family members overrides all our worldly concerns. Since God's above all that, and he's in control of his plan for all, especially his people, this is hard to trust, this is hard to believe, but this is the actual thing, and we'll get into this today. So let's, whether you want to turn to this or not, I'll just read this to you, but it's in 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. Now, in 1 Timothy 3:15, there's a statement about God's people, God's church, God's called out ones. There's a statement there. We tend not to tell ourselves. We don't really feel comfortable about this. Sorry, this is where mankind has to go to come to God. Say, well, they have to come to Christ. Yeah, look at this. 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. And this is Paul talking about coming to see them there. But if I'm delayed, he says in verse 15, but if I'm delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church, the group of called out ones away from the world, of the living God. The pillar and the ground of truth. In other words, because Christ is in his church, building his church, guiding it, it is his church, it's a spiritual entity, it is the foundation of the truth with him in it. And it is also the support of the building that he's making. The truth. What truth? All right. Well, the church is where human beings are to go. This is how God explains it. This is where they are drawn. They're drawn to Christ. And where's Christ? He's in his church. You might be asking yourself right now, but that makes me very important. Is that right? What does it say? What is now with you, what is the most and the highest priority of our state, our position with God right now? What is the highest priority? Not yours, God's. What's the highest priority? We are, as God's word puts it, called, drawn to the resurrection. You could put it another way. You could say we're called to the kingdom, family of God, through Christ and his resurrection. You could put it like that. In other words, we're called to not be like this. We're called to not be temporal. We're called to not be flesh. We're called to not be corruptible, but incorruptible. And when Paul writes about this, he's deeply concerned about God's calling and work of those in his charge. Paul comments about the state of being now and as we enter into the kingdom. And he explains that as we work now and moving toward being changed, that how we're motivated to go forward is to be different, become like him. That is our motivation, our calling, our purpose, our reason for going forward. Paul explains it. Now that's in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19. You know what 1 Corinthians 15 is about. But, you know, let's just cover it really quickly, because when we put it in this context, that it's above everything else we are concerned about. And everything we're doing in this life leads to this. Don't misunderstand that this is the only thing to be concerned about. This is where we're going, and that everything in this life leads to this, including doing the work, going through conversion, going through repentance. Okay, so 1 Corinthians 15:19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. We have nothing to live for if all we have is a relationship with God in this life. There's something more. That's what he's saying. There's something more. And our hope is then explained as we go on to 1 Corinthians 15:20. What is our hope? What is our reason for being? Is it to pay the bills? Is it to be happy? Is it to be fulfilled? 1 Corinthians 15:20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. This is exquisitely important, and the reason it is so important is because this is the reason for us to be at all. This is why we exist. This is how we got here. This is what we were made for. This is our design. This is our purpose. All right? Now, all of this is going to go on, he says. It's not what we're doing now is going to go on because he has a job, each one in his own order. Christ made alive first, then each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and then obviously afterwards those who are Christ at his coming. And then comes the end, and he's going to deliver the kingdom up to the Father, God the Father, and he's going to put an end to all the rule and authority and power, for he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. He understands, as we must with him, that there is more to this life, and there is more to that than just getting there. There is more to this life, that is how to be accepted and made like him. And the last enemy destroyed is death, for he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things under him, it's evident that he put all things that under him who is accepted, that's God the Father. He's accepted from being under Christ. Now, when all things are made subject to him, then the Son of himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all, meaning everything, all important, most priority in all people, not just the ones in the church who get this. He will be all in all. So now, understand, our hope is from God. It's outside this world. Our hope isn't this world. It's outside this world. So keep going. 1 Corinthians 15:50. 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Now behold, I'll tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. This is a discussion about how to get away from this world. Understand, we're going to this. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We won't be like this ever again, and what we will be forever. Verse 53, for this corruptible, this ignorant, untrained, incompetent, impotent being that God has designed to be this way must put on incorruption. This incorruption is where we're for, what we're for, how we are to live forever. And this mortal must put on immortality. Go down to verse 58. Therefore, when you see therefore, it means look at what's said before. Verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Additionally, consider this. Paul states his personal state of being. This is a man who had been an apostle, also a rabbi, and who had persecuted the church, in fact, standing by while some died at the hands of those who resisted, out of ignorance, resisted God. Paul states his personal position, his state of being, in the life priorities of the kingdom during this life. And this is in Philippians 3. The life priorities in this life. See, there is something in this life. It's not about, well, now that I have a relationship with Christ, I'm going to be in the family. No, there is much in this life to do. So Philippians 3, verse 7. Philippians 3, verse 7. Here's what else there is. Philippians 3, 7. Paul says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. What things were gained to him? Well, he was well off. He was respected. He was a rabbi of rabbis. He was highly educated and he was motivated, but it was all loss. As far as he's concerned, worthless. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things in this world, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness. There's the problem, trying to obey God without the Holy Spirit, without yielding to God as the superior one. I could say that 1,000 times and it'll register with those who are doing it, and it won't register in this world at all, right? Having my own righteousness is not how it's done, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, trusting that God knows what he's doing with you. The righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Does that sound like what Paul's saying is the single most important thing of all he was doing was to realize the resurrection? Yeah, it is. Now, to continue the thought, Paul considers in Romans 8, go to Romans 8, he considers the priorities of doing the work with Christ, and he addresses this same thing again. Romans 8, verse 18. Romans 8, 18. This is his attitude. This is a human being who had his life. He was just fine. And as far as he was concerned, he was fine with God. That's a dangerous thing to think. Romans 8, the reason it is because we aren't able to be okay with God. God makes us his clone, not clone, but his follower, his imitator through Christ. I didn't mean to say clone. That's absolutely wrong. We are individuals in God's family. Okay, Romans 8, verse 18. Romans 8, 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time aren't worthy. So our problems, our concerns, our big problems that are all going to be dust aren't worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. The creation itself, not in verse 21. Look. Verse 21, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. How important is what you're doing? How important is your calling? How important is this priority? The creation's waiting for you to be transformed. Verse 22, for we all know the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs until now. Verse 23, not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body, for we were saved. We were brought to. We were changed. We have been thinking differently in this hope. What hope? The family of God, the resurrection, the kingdom. Now, ultimately, Paul states this very reason for you being called. The reason, not why you specifically were called, but why God calls humans at all. And if you're called, why'd he call you? 2 Thessalonians, it's in 2 Thessalonians 2. 2 Thessalonians 2, and let's go down to just verse 14. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 14. Paul keeps saying the same thing. Galatians, Ephesians, Corinthians, Thessalonians, Timothy, he keeps saying the same thing. But here in verse 14 of 2 Thessalonians 2, he makes it crystal clear. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 14, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the firstborn among many. So when he obtained the glory of our Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, that is what he called you for. He just said it right there. And of course, we understand this all starts to fit very well when you don't have to turn to these. You know, these are memory scriptures, Mark 1, 14 and 15, and Matthew 6, 33, Mark 1, 14, 15, where Christ came saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, believe in the gospel. What's most important? Why didn't he say, you know, you ought to get your affairs together. You need to keep the law better. You need to understand the Holy Spirit. No, he said, look forward to the kingdom of God. Well, did he really? Yeah, Matthew 6, 33. Seek first the kingdom, not your car payment. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, not yours, his. And all the other things will be added to you. See, in the context of Paul's letters to the Corinthians, it's necessary for Paul to make clear they could then be enabled by God's Holy Spirit if their goal, their purpose, their path, their place they're going is the kingdom instead of solving the problems of this world and not caring about the kingdom. It's a vastly superior, perfect guidance that God gives with his purpose. Until you experience it, you wonder, what is this about? When you do experience what God's doing with you, you'll wonder why you wasted so long. Why were you alone apart from God so long? And further, we see throughout God's word this seeking for the future, where Christ said, seek you first the kingdom. This, you see this all the time, in which we are going to be born, this place we're going to go, this existence we will have, that we are going into, this seeking is put into a human being as they yield to God's relationship with them. Now, where do we see that? We're going to end this here pretty quickly. Hebrews 11. Where do you see this? Hebrews 11, the heroes of faith. Okay, well, Hebrews 11, verse 14. All the troubles that people had, all of the things they lived through, all the things they overcame, including being sawn in two, wandering in deserts and waste places, being imprisoned, right? All those things, and they still held on because, verse 14, for those who say that they're strangers and pilgrims in the earth, for those who say such things, declare with their life that plainly that they seek a homeland. This isn't it. Verse 16, but now they desire a better. That's a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he's preparing a city for them. And since they are called to the kingdom family of God, that is their primary goal. Being called and realizing the call and working toward the call in this life include doing the work, learning to serve, being of God, being like Christ, but moving toward without expectation of return, but knowing God's grace is giving us this toward the primary goal, the kingdom of God. In other words, you're called to the resurrection.